All right, well, thank you very much. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we give thanks for this opportunity we've had, this day of meetings, these hymns that we could sing. We think especially of how we've just had before us your desire to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just are so amazed when we consider our future. We think, too, of the progressive work that's being done in each of our lives, more and more to conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for help in the talk that we have now. We just pray that it would be something that would encourage us and help us in the path of faith. We ask it, our God and our Father, in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to just turn to Isaiah chapter 66 for a verse, two verses to begin with. Isaiah 66, I'm going to probably refer to quite a few verses. I may not read all of them, but refer to them. And if you don't, if you can't turn to all of them, that's okay. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. God has everything. The heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. But there is something that he wants. And that is what we have in this verse, a poor and a contrite spirit. A sensitive heart and an attitude that is a right attitude. That's what I wanted to talk about with you young people, was our attitude. I've been thinking about the circumstances that we have in our life. Most of the time, we cannot control the circumstances that we're in, especially when we're younger. We're just in them, and there's not a lot we can do about them. But there is something that we can control, and that is our attitude, or as Scripture calls it, our spirit. And so that's what I wanted to talk about, was our spirit. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I'd just like to apply that this way, that we can control our attitude. And it's an important thing to the Lord, as we have in this verse. He looks to one who has a who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembles at his word. Our attitude makes such a difference. And, you know, there's so many examples. I think you're probably, in your own life, you can think back about how your attitude had such an impact. The meetings that we sit through, we get so much more out of them when we have a good attitude. And we can sit through an excellent meeting and someone will tell us how much they enjoyed it. But if we had a bad attitude, we won't get a thing out of it. Our attitude is so, so important. You know, an example I've been reading a little bit about is a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. How many here have heard of Corrie Ten Boom? I think at least half. Corrie Ten Boom was the daughter of a Dutch watchmaker who lived in the Netherlands during the time of World War II. And this family, they were ones that would shelter Jewish refugees during the Holocaust. And so they had this room in their house. They had twin daughters, Corrie and Betsy, and they had this section of the house that was called the hiding place. And they would shelter these Jewish refugees and keep them hidden. And it was very, very interesting to read their story. They had a nice buzzer system to warn them when there was going to be a random security sweep. Anyways, an informant told the Gestapo what they were doing, and the whole family was arrested. And eventually, Corrie and Betsy were taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp. And if you're familiar with the history of the Holocaust, it was the same thing that many endured. Hunger, cruelty, disease. They became familiar with all of those evils. And at first, Corrie struggled with bitterness and anger. as you can imagine. But gradually the Lord began to work in her, and as she recounts it, she learned from her sister Betsy to turn her thoughts to God and to change her attitude. And she began to see God in everything. And the Lord used her in an amazing way to speak to others, to change the lives of others. And it's just an incredible story. You know, there's one instance that I want to mention, and that's there was a time when there was an infestation of fleas that came in. And I can't even imagine how horrible that would be to have these insects crawling all over you. And Betsy told her, we should thank God for these fleas. And she couldn't understand how you could thank God for, on top of all these other things, for these fleas, but she did. And later on, they found that the fleas saved them from the guards. The guards didn't want to have anything to do with the fleas. And so the attitude that they had changed, not their circumstances, but the atmosphere around them. And so it's an amazing example. God cares about our attitude. And I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12 now and just notice a title of God. Hebrews chapter 12 is a very, very good chapter to do with chastening. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And the title is Father of Spirits. It's amazing to think of God as a Father of Spirits. That shows that He is interested, deeply interested in our attitude. And those of us who are parents, it's one thing to be able to get your child to obey you and do what you say. But it is so much harder to get them to do it with a good attitude. And that is what God is after. He is after our heart. He's after our spirit. And He is interested in that. And He is passing us through circumstances that we might learn, not just to obey, but to obey with a good attitude. He's drawing our hearts after Himself because He is interested in our spirit. Well, there are four of Paul's epistles where he ends the epistle with these words, something like this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Three epistles, basically that's a direct quotation. And I'm not going to turn to all these, you can look them up later, but in Galatians 6:18, after Paul has written a very difficult epistle, correcting a very serious error of legality in the assemblies of Galatia, he says to them, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We need grace in order to take correction. It's a part of life, is to go through and to receive correction. And it takes grace to accept it when others correct us. In Philippians 4:23, after Paul had addressed an assembly where there was disunity that was brewing, where there was strife that was beginning in the assembly in Philippi, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We need grace to go on with our brethren in unity. And in Philemon verse 25, after exhorting Philemon to forgive his runaway servant Onesimus, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We need grace to forgive those who have offended us and who have wronged us. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22, it's worded a little differently here. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. His final words to Timothy, as Paul was about to go to his death, he writes to Timothy and he tells him, you know, the pathway is going to be difficult. He says, all they in Asia have turned away from me. But he says to Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. However difficult the path that the Lord has called us to walk, we need His grace to be with us, and especially to be with our spirit or our attitude. In all four of these instances, it's not just grace, but it's connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key. It is the grace that He had that we see in His life, in His pathway. And so I thought, you know what? I don't want to just have this be a lecture and tell you what to do and what not to do, but just for a few moments, I want to read just a couple of verses that would show us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, tells us, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." The Lord Jesus gave up everything. We had earlier in our meetings, He left those courts of glory to come down into this world to lay down everything for us. That self-sacrifice, that spirit of self-sacrifice is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know Philippians 2 very well, but let's just look at it briefly. Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He was God. He was equal with God, but He didn't insist on it. He did not insist on His rights. He who, above everyone else, you might say, had the right to, He didn't. That is grace. That is grace. And He went lower and lower and lower. Grace would cause us to be willing to go down, 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 and not to insist on our own rights. Romans 15, for another verse that would tell us of that gracious spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 3 of Romans 15, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." The Lord Jesus did not live one moment of his life to please himself. He was here first and foremost, to please his Father, and also for the blessing of others. I'm not going to turn to some of these other ones, but you know, he passed over personal insults. When the Jews called him a Samaritan, he just passed over it. When his disciples failed him, when his disciple denied him, he treated him so gently. It says in Luke chapter 22, the Lord looked upon Peter. He just looked upon him. How gracious. It says in Luke chapter 4, they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. We see the Lord Jesus going to the cross as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God would have it to be that grace that would characterize our attitude. Well, now I wanted to just touch on three aspects of a right spirit. Three ways where the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ ought to be with our spirit or with our attitude. And the first is with regard to our circumstances. And so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 to see that. As I mentioned earlier, we cannot control our circumstances, but yet our attitude in them is so important. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And then I'm going to just jump down to verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so the apostle here in the writer of Hebrews here explains how our attitude should be in trials that the Lord passes us through, particularly in chastening. And he first of all says that there are two things that a right attitude will not do. And the first is to despise the chastening of the Lord. That is to slough it off and just say, that's nothing. To discount it as maybe just a random event. And ignore it. No, that is not what the Lord would have us to do. These things are not accidents. They're not random. God has allowed every circumstance that we pass through, particularly for us, and he has a purpose in it. The second thing that a right spirit will not do is faint under it. Faint under the chastening of the Lord. And that is, to faint under the chastening of the Lord is to wilt down under it, to think that God is somehow out to get us, to begin to think that he doesn't love us, and that leads to depression. And that's another thing that we should not do. And it can be very, very difficult not to faint under the chastening of the Lord. You know, I lost a little bit track of the days because we're on vacation here, but today is December 26th, 12 years ago today, was one of the hardest days of my life, and for my wife as well. We had two little girls that were born, and we said hello to them and goodbye to them on the same day. And you know, that was something that was very difficult for us to take with a right spirit. To realize that God is powerful, that he can touch us in ways that we could not even imagine. To be able to go through that with a right spirit was very, very difficult to do. And I can't say we did, at least initially. But to find out and to learn that he loves us, and that he proved his love to us on Calvary's cross, and that every single circumstance that happens in our life is directly from him, and he has a purpose of blessing in mind for us. And so don't faint under it. But the right response is the verse we ended with, but are exercised thereby. To find out and get the good of what the Lord is trying to tell us. And it is, we don't always know exactly what he's trying to tell us or the lesson he's trying to bring out to us, but to have an attitude, have a spirit that is listening and sensitive to what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is saying to us. You know, reading through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives a very long speech. And in that book, or in that chapter, he rebukes the nation of Israel. And he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised, he says, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. And if you go through that chapter, what Stephen is bringing out is every time the Spirit of God did something new, Israel resisted. Anytime God tried to speak to them. Am I out of time?
Yep.
All right. Well, let me just wrap it up real quick then. All right. Thank you. We need to be sensitive to what the Lord is saying to us. And there were a couple other things, but we won't get to them today. All right, let's just give thanks. Our God and our Father, we just give thanks for this little opportunity to consider the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would have that grace with our spirit and our attitude. We give thanks too for the time of fellowship to follow and the refreshments. We ask for a blessing on the rest of the conference here. We pray that it would be edifying and encouraging to each one of us. We give thanks, our God and Father, and ask it in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.